Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
K-Rex.
Yeah. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot, fresh from sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two. We in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
Well. One more time for the good weather. The first show of the off season.
Oh man. Damn.
We welcome you in here to the Monday, April 22nd edition of D-Lo with KC. I'm Damian Borling.
The ultimate needle mover in God Bone himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
Man, and we're happy that you're here with us. Not what we were hoping to be talking about today. But it just kind of follows the blueprint of the season. It was an up and down season. It was an up and down week. And now it's all over for the Sacramento Kings as De'Aaron Fox, Domantas Sabonis, Keegan Murray, Malik Monk, and I'm sure at some point very, very soon, Mike Brown giving exit interviews over at the Golden One Center. James Hamm will join us later on in the show. Help us recap everything that went on today. Obviously, some very quote-worthy things coming out of there. Nothing surprising. Nothing shocking at all. But definitely some things to talk about as the Sacramento Kings season came to an end. Friday night against the New Orleans Pelicans.
Man, where do we start?
There's anything to talk about with the game, to be honest with you. I mean, lather, rinse, repeat. We've seen them get run out the door by various members of the New Orleans Pelicans throughout the season. I feel like we're looking at a bigger picture conversation as it pertains to Sacramento, both the 2023-2024 season and, you know, what it might look like ahead.
Well, we can pick it off where we went on the handoff where, you know, Kyle was asking a question of, you know, what's next? What do you do? How do you improve? All this other stuff.
Yeah.
And there's a number of different ways to go, you know, and some of them I don't think people might like. You know, there is, number one, there's a component of going out and getting somebody that I affectionately say has warts, right? Like, and the name that keeps coming up because – everybody seems to hate him, is Zach LaVine, getting that type of player out. First of all, you want to sign Malik Monk. That's what we're trying to do regardless of anything else. Mm-hmm. But then looking at a player like Zach LaVine, who has a lot of upside but has a bad contract, has an injury history, I think that's what you're in play for with some of the things that, you know, people are willing to offer. You know what I mean? Like take on contract. Trading, you know, fringe players. There, people want Harrison out and all this other stuff. They're willing to trade Kevin Herter, all that stuff. Well, that's what you're talking about. You're talking about a player with warts, and Zach LaVine is that that type of player.
Let's stay with that for a second.
Okay.
Because, you know, we're talking from a fan base perspective, and everybody has their different feelings about Zach LaVine, and that's fine. Let's try this from a different perspective. I don't know if we've done this before. We might. I'm sure we have. We've talked about Zach LaVine so many goddamn times. I'm sure we have. But let's try this. Does Zach LaVine feel like a Mike Brown player?
No.
Okay.
Not necessarily.
Okay. Move up a little higher. Does Zach LaVine feel like a Monty McNair type player?
No, not necessarily.
Okay. I'm just presenting. I'm just like I. You know, we do this at WrestleMania, right? We fantasy book everything, mm-hmm. and we look at Zach LaVine, and you know, we go over scenarios where it works and players with warts and how you've got to take someone that has something, mm-hmm. right? And then, okay, bring him back. It's fine. It's fine for us to do. It's what we do. We talk. We look at the landscape and we try to form a story out of it. When we try to break this thing down into its simplest form, Zach LaVine doesn't have a single attribute that I feel like Monty McNair would go, that's the guy we need here. Zach LaVine doesn't have a single attribute where I feel like Mike Brown goes, that's the type of guy that we need here.
Well, they could both be wrong.
Like, they could be, because you know who I think might like him.
Yeah. And we've heard the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah, we've heard the same things. And we ain't going to beat around the bush. D'Lo and KC, that's what we do. The meddling crowd won't acknowledge the fact that rumor has it Vivek wanted Zach LaVine, but he let Monty do what he wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
But no, they won't talk about that. They'll just say he's always meddling and you know, all this other stuff. He wanted Zach LaVine, reportedly, allegedly, and –
I heard he liked Zach LaVine. Like he liked the idea of getting. I don't know that he said, "Okay, Monty, you don't have." I don't know anything about right. that. All I know is that I heard Vivek liked Zach LaVine.
Right, and at the end of the day, he quote unquote let his basketball people who do basketball things. And Mike and Monty, they may have a certain type of player, but that's under fire right now because that ain't get you nowhere. You know, in two seasons.
Mm-hmm.
You made the playoffs. You broke the drought. That's good. You get credit for that. We didn't win a playoff series there. And then the next season, you didn't improve enough, or some would say at all, to get into the playoffs this time. You got into the postseason and all this other stuff.
Well, you definitely didn't improve.
Yeah, that wasn't good enough. So this whole, not saying it's what you're saying. What you're saying is right. I agree with you. But this whole their player, their type of player, they may have to back up off that a little bit. I would say probably – Malik Monk wasn't either one of their types of players. And they took a chance and kind of stepped out a little bit. And we saw what that got them.
Okay. So, could I argue the difference? About $130 million?
Well, that's fine. They can save all the money they want to when they're looking for jobs if this thing doesn't improve. So they can save the money whatever they want to. Same thing happened again next year. Both of them are on the hot seat. Fair or foul?
It's foul. Like, I'm sorry. It's foul.
They missed the playoffs again next year. They're not on the hot seat?
At 46 wins? Like, no. Like what? No, you shouldn't be.
You shouldn't be on the hot seat?
Because you missed the playoffs 2 years in a row? No. You answer me. At 46 wins, if we just play out the scenario exactly the same way, it's a 46-win team. Is Mike Brown, and there's an interesting article in The Athletic, we might not get to it today, it might be something we spend more time on tomorrow, but is Monty McNair and Mike Brown on the hot seat? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I disagree.
You don't go around firing coaches just for the sake of firing them.
I said they should be on the hot seat. There's two
What's that mean?
The hot seat is like if that
it
happens
means
again,
your seat is hot to be fired.
If that happens again next year, going into the following season, like we need to see something early.
I'm saying no.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Neither one of them.
All right. There's been coaches fired for less.
Yeah, there have.
There's been coaches fired who have more success.
Sure, and did the team kick out of that and be successful? I'm asking.
I mean, the Raptors did. The Raptors did. He was far more successful than Mike Brown, and they went and won a championship.
Boy, you got some balls bringing that one up. That's good.
But
you talking about Dwayne Casey?
Yeah, am I wrong?
No, you kid. Okay, can you throw in the one small little caveat that plays into that?
They got Kawhi Leonard.
Well, made it seem like it was about coaching and like this dude just coached the same exact roster and the team got better.
Yeah, but
Kawhi Leonard.
Masai also went out and got somebody. That's part of his job might have been on the line too.
Well, yeah, well, we don't, but that's not what we're talking about.
Yeah,
you said they moved on. You said coaches have gotten fired for less and used Toronto as an example, leaving out the fact that Toronto went and got one of the best players in the world.
And Toronto had more winning at that point without the best players in the
world. Yeah, no doubt. They had to make a move. They had to make a move that their only possible move was to win a championship. It was nothing else. It wasn't to continue to make the playoffs. It wasn't to beat LeBron James. They had to get to a championship status.
Yeah.
There was literally one way they could do it.
And we're not
and they
even
did it.
We're not even asking that. We're asking you to make the playoffs.
Yeah, and we're not that's why using Toronto as an example is absurd.
Okay. I mean, we're asking
you
to make the playoffs. And you can't do that for two straight years, Monty and Mike. That's acceptable?
I didn't say it was acceptable. I'm saying you don't fire them because they don't make it. Okay. You don't put them on the hot seat. The hot seat is insinuating they're on the verge of being fired, is it not?
So yeah, it is. So when is the seat get hot?
You have to
be going into a contract year too, Mike Brown.
You have to continuously prove that you can't coach above what you're doing right now. Okay. And do you start thinking like maybe no? The bigger thing is the contract. The bigger thing is the fact that you might not be on a hot seat. You might not be getting fired. I just don't know that we can renew this contract. But at the same time, maybe. But at the same time, I'm still not confident I do that. Because you just lost your best assistant. He's going to Brooklyn. That's official. You're probably not skewing older with Jay. And I don't know that you want to roll the dice on someone like DC or Lindsay being the one that gets you over the top here. You've got to figure this out with Mike Brown. And if you're Monty McNair, you've got to figure this out with Mike Brown. Even having a discussion about Mike Brown losing his job is ridiculous to me.
Well, definitely not losing his job right now or being on a hot seat right now. That's not how I feel. But this offseason, they've got to find a way to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, there's no question about that. This all started with you bringing Zach LaVine into the conversation. Mm-hmm. I just asked the question about Monty and Mike. I don't know that Zach LaVine is the player that fits here. Maybe he is. Maybe he isn't. I think you talk about taking warts. I think there's warts, contract. Yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that. It's not my money. I don't care. I don't care how these guys spend their money. Warts. Injury problems where he legitimately might not play for you. Yeah, then it's like, yeah. Then that's where Monty over Mike. That's where the discussion of you probably are in a conversation to lose your job comes into play.
Well, when we come back, there's a couple other scenarios because I want to know. I got three of them. We just heard one of them.
Okay.
I want to know what you and everybody else think is the best one, and I don't because I think they're all ones. I actually don't have a problem with any three of them, but I think the majority of people don't like any of the options that I'm coming up with, and we'll talk about it.
It's only been 13 minutes. This is going to be a long ass off season. Steeler and KC brought to you by Sky River Casino here on ESPN 1320.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, man. The off season is just underway. Kenny and I already aren't getting along. We got three scenarios for this off season for Sacramento. You just laid out one. You talked about Zach LaVine. Really, you were trying to make a grander point. I interrupted you because I got hung up on Zach LaVine, and then we started talking about Mike and Monty and the changes that we believe are going to have to take place this offseason, and we're just starting to dip our toe into the changes that we believe are going to have to take place this offseason for the Sacramento Kings to be better. But you said you had three different scenarios. You don't have an issue with any of them, but you think no one really likes these scenarios you have. So we went over the Zach LaVine one. Mm-hmm. What else do we have here?
Mind you, I would also like to say I don't want Mike Brown or Monty to go anywhere. I'm really just talking about how things go.
I got you. Know you. What I'm saying? And my point was, I think that's wrong. I think that's the wrong way.
I agree with you because I don't want those guys to go, but I know how that could play out. That's basically the argument that I make with that.
For sure.
But the second one would be, if you don't want a guy like Zach LaVine, if you don't want a guy with like kind of warts on him, contract, injury history, all this other stuff, to get a guy like Mikal Bridges, mm-hmm. you're going to have to include Keegan Murray.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure people are ready to do that and want to do that. But if you want a guy that you feel better about than a Zach LaVine, you have to move Keegan Murray, I believe.
So here's – I guess I'm just going to take everything you say and pick it apart.
It's fine.
I don't have any issue with that line of thinking. Mm-hmm. The thing that I just, and this is, you know, looking at the season in hindsight now, that's funny regarding the conversation about Keegan Murray and whether you think that he's untradeable. And KC, that's ridiculous. You can't trade Keegan Murray under any circumstances. He's part of the core. It's not a core two, it's a core three. You know, the Kings got to get Malik back. But when you talk about guys that you have to have, it's De'Aaron Fox, it's Domantas Sabonis, and it's Keegan Murray. And that's fine. But I really did hear a lot about how Keegan needs to be a better scorer and Keegan needs to be, you know, more aggressive on the offensive end. And it's great what he's doing on the defensive end. And, you know, it's great, you know, particularly looking back at the early part of the year, what a great defender he was. I think he stood out earlier in the year because it felt like the team wasn't good defensively. Of course, you get the influx of Keon Ellis. The Kings' total team defense improves quite a bit, and Keegan doesn't stand out as much on the defensive end, even though he was still obviously really good. But the conversation around Keegan was really weird. We had discussions with the three of us about, like, you can't hold everything for Keegan. Mm-hmm. You know, this team needs to be a playoff team next year. And if not, Monty's on the hot seat. Mike's on the hot seat. All of these different things. You can't hold things for Keegan Murray. But at the same time, people want to say, well, you can't trade Keegan Murray. And you kind of got to pick which one it is. Mm-hmm. There's probably less than a single percent of trades you would consider for Keegan Murray. Like, it's a tiny, tiny number. Mm-hmm. Mikal Bridges is probably one of those trades. Mm-hmm. there's not very many more. And I think the greatest way that you ever brought it up was, and we'll use Mikel as the example because this was the example we were using at the time. It wasn't, can Keegan Murray be the star that some of us, some don't, I do, believe that Mikal Bridges can be? That's not the question. The question was, can Keegan be what Mikal Bridges was on Phoenix? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us thought, well, like, yeah, I think that he can. But I think there are also some people who have doubt about what Keegan Murray can do, particularly on the offensive end. And now it feels like Keegan needs to be your third, like undisputably your third best player, which he is not right now. Mm-hmm. When the entire roster is healthy, he is not right now. Golden State game notwithstanding, like those moments are certainly there for him. But on a consistent, I think most people go to Malik. They might even put Malik at number two, which I think you had him at one point earlier this year. The other thing is, while Malik may need to be your third best player overall, he might need to be your second best scorer right now. And there's no sign that that's the case. Sorry. There's not enough sample size that that's the case. Mm-hmm. I'm not of the business of moving Keegan Murray. I'm only willing to listen for a very, very small number of trade proposals. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, some people have gotten really inconsistent on their thoughts on Keegan Murray.
Yeah.
And that's just the... that's just the fallout of having a frustrating season, right? That's just the fallout of having to watch Phoenix and Minnesota this weekend knowing Sacramento's not going to play. It's the frustration of having to watch Oklahoma City and New Orleans knowing that was the game that Sacramento was supposed to be in. Like, you question things, you get frustrated by things, and the Keegan Murray conversation is fascinating because everyone is kind of all over the place and not really consistent in their arguments.
Yeah, I agree. And mind you, once again, disclaimer, this I'm not trying to trade Keegan Murray. I'm looking at ways to improve this team. And everybody thinks there needs to be this big improvement this offseason. Changes have to be made and all this other stuff. Well, if you don't, let's go down the list so far. If you don't want a Zach LaVine type, somebody that's a little bit more reliable, a little bit more of a star, the trade package that you have for Zach LaVine isn't going to get it done. You're going to have to up the package, would mean Keegan Murray would be involved. So, yeah, one scenario, you didn't like it. Had another one, some people didn't like it. I heard up here some people saying Keegan Murray is off limits. Fine, if you feel that way, fine. That's cool. The third one, which is another one where people – not like, is it's going to be a variation of running it back. Now, you may end up getting, like, it's not going to be the same 12 players or something like that. Maybe you go get somebody like Malcolm Brogdon or something like that. Somebody that's cool, reliable vet or whatever, but he's not a game changer. He doesn't elevate you. You know, maybe you get somebody like that, but you still have, and in this scenario, I'm talking Malik probably comes back too, right?
Yeah.
So you still got Malik,
mm-hmm.
Harrison's still here, maybe Herter's on the bench, maybe he was the guy that you traded out Brogdon with or whatever, but it's not a sweeping, oh man, we just elevated ourselves. It's the same variation of this team. And while I wouldn't, of the three, I wouldn't go that route. I'm not like completely against it either, because I do think this team was better than people give it credit for this year. They failed. They didn't meet their goal. So you can't dispute that. But I did like the makeup of the team. And you know, if you did that, you'd be betting on Fox getting a little bit better, Malik Monk being a little bit better, Keegan definitely being better. And Sabonis being about the same or whatever. And whatever happened with Harrison Barnes in the second half of the season, that being something that you go all year long with, that's kind of what you're betting on. So, yeah, I don't know, man.
All three of those are extremely risky propositions. I think when we pull ourselves into reality and out of fantasy GMs of fantasy basketball and trade machine nonsense, the most likely scenario is scenario three. A version of running it back, where obviously Malik is here, and then you're looking for continued growth in Keegan, and you're probably looking for something to do with Kevin Huerter or Harrison Barnes in that regard, as a singular trade asset rather than a combined trade asset. Mm-hmm. Whether, and we'll use the player, a Malcolm Brogdon, like a fine player who could probably help you, but you don't really feel like is a game changer. Maybe they don't need a game changer. Maybe they do. I'm not really sure. Maybe there are things that you figure out with Malik Monk on your roster. Maybe there are things that you figure out with Keon Ellis now, and you have accepted, okay, Kevin Herter's not starting on this team again. And if it's not Malik Monk that's starting in the two spot, then it's Keon Ellis that's starting in the two spot. Keon clearly upgraded this team defensively this year. But you have a lot that you have to deal with in this conversation with Malik Monk and what might be next for him. The upgrades can come in minimal form from either Harrison Barnes or Kevin Huerter. Of course, you have this draft pick coming up, which they do have now. The deal with Atlanta is, in fact, not complete because the Kings missed the playoffs. And, yeah, it's just kind of – it's probably the most likely scenario because you brought up LaVine as part of a Huerter, Barnes, whatever type deal. Doesn't involve Keegan, doesn't involve, the guys you really, really love, but it has some sketchiness to it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Outside of Zach LaVine, what's the other sketchy deal to make?
There's situations like and I don't know how realistic it is, but we just spitballing, a little bit. Paul George on a expiring. Brandon Ingram on an expiring. No guarantee that these guys are coming back. I know in the handoff they mentioned somebody like Julius Randle, who has warts to his game a little bit. So somebody that, whether it's contract-wise, whether making a lot of money or no security past that season, injury history-wise, that might – like there are things that you could look at and be like, I don't like that aspect of them. But his talent can't be denied or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, guys of that ilk.
Justin asked a question, or he actually doesn't ask a question. He poses it as a statement. He says, Keon Ellis isn't a starting caliber player. Is he wrong?
I don't agree with him. It's not crazy for somebody to say that. Like, I don't think that's outlandish. I just don't agree. I think he showed that he can start, and especially if you have the right pieces around him, he can be a starting caliber player in this league.
He didn't score on Friday.
No, he didn't score.
That's your starting two guard, though. Okay.
That's gonna happen.
Like you
from time to time with players like that. Like I, as great as he was for them winning a championship last year, I bet we could go to Bruce Brown's game log, and there's games where he didn't score because he's this scrappy, like kind of get the no pun intended, but get the scraps type player. They don't run stuff for him. He's a defender, slasher, do stuff like that. KCP's a little bit more relied on as a scorer, but those type of players, I could be wrong, but there are times when those guys, if they don't go scoreless, have like 5 points in a game or something like that.
Is Keon a player who can evolve more on the offensive end?
I feel like he can. Maybe not a whole lot, but I feel like he can. I feel like
we. I mean, obviously, we saw him fine offensively. We saw him great offensively at different points. But like consistency or consistently through a stretch of 82 games, like what is Keon Ellis on the offensive end? There's zero question about what he is on the defensive end, or at least appears to be zero question about what he is on the defensive end. I just don't know through the course of an entire season what he is on the offensive end. I don't think you can afford to have what you have Friday. And certainly, and I get your point, you have those moments from guys like that. But if that's the case, and maybe that's where Malik Monk comes into play.
Yeah.
If that's the case, you better have a guy who can make up for it. And the Kings did not have that guy on Friday.
I just pulled up the game log randomly. I'm not here to say Keon is better or the same as Bruce Brown, but just that type of player. What is this? Game 4 of the NBA Finals. Bruce Brown had 5 points. Nuggets won.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But like that happens. Other games, he had 11, 10, 21 in a game, 10 in another game or whatever. Single digits in game 4 against the Lakers, the Western Conference Finals, 6 points. So, like, you don't want it to happen. You want to hope that he gets to the point, hell, that Keon gets to the point of a Bruce Brown where those don't happen so often. Because he had zero on Friday, and I think there was a game late down the stretch where he didn't score a whole lot either. Oh, man, I'm drawing a blank. But maybe it was the
he
was
scored
the
five
game.
In the last Pelicans game.
Yeah, the Pelicans game. So, you know, maybe.
Maybe it's just the Pelicans.
Maybe it's just the Pelicans.
Scored 26 against the Thunder. Maybe it's just the Pelicans.
What do you have, like 17 against the Suns?
He had, he was double digits that stretch. He had 17 against the Suns. He had a tough outing against Brooklyn, but that was a game they won by like 50. Tough outing against Boston. Played well versus New York, and did 0-for-1 against the Clippers in a game that they won by 14 points.
So I do think that.
Although I used all of those as an example because Malik didn't play in any of those.
Right. I do think that he can be a starting caliber guard in the league. You know, I do feel like you have to have a strong rest of your four starters around him to maybe make up for those nights when he doesn't score much. Or like you said, a Malik Monk coming off the bench where if Keon doesn't have it offensively or isn't giving you what you're looking for, you can still get that offensive punch from somewhere else. So Justin isn't crazy for thinking that, but I disagree. I think Keon can be a starter in this league.
Okay. I don't think we've seen all that he is as a player either. I think there's more. And I'm not suggesting he's a 26 point per game guy like he, you know, exhibited against Oklahoma City. I don't think that he's that. I don't think it's terribly far-fetched to say he could average 10 points per game. I don't think that's a stretch either. I don't think he's a guy who goes 0-for-1 consistently throughout the year. I don't even think he's a guy who goes 0-for-5 consistently throughout the year. But of all of the things we don't know about Keon Ellis yet, that's the most glaring one is what he can provide for you throughout the course of a season on the offensive end.
Yeah, for sure. So, but to your other point, going into next season with generally the same type of team, I agree with you. It's probably the most. That's probably the leader in the clubhouse right now. And like I said, maybe this team, I use Malcolm Brogdon. I don't mean to disparage him or a player like him, but maybe that's what the team needs. Maybe they don't need a Mikal Bridges or something like that. They need a steady guy off the bench or a steady three or something like that to kind of elevate them and make everything fit. I don't know, but.
I think it's Malcolm Brogdon.
Well, I don't think so.
Something either. About Malcolm Brogdon just is weird to me.
Not a believer.
Well, it's not. It's just
he's a good ball player.
Who's been on a lot of teams?
Yeah.
And like why?
Yeah.
Why has that dude been on so many teams? He's fine right where he's at.
Yeah.
which I think is Portland. I'm not 100% sure, but he's fine right. He's fine right where he's at.
But the scenario I would probably lean towards the most is scenario one. The player with warts.
Zach LaVine. The Zach LaVine like
keeping Keegan Murray. I'm not ready to move on from Keegan Murray right now unless it's a Mikal Bridges. But if you presented both to me, like if Monty came to me and was like, Kenny, we got both of these deals on the table, which one should I go with? Like, they're both a done deal, that we're just ready to press the button on one of them. Trade for Mikal Bridges, trade Keegan for Mikal Bridges, or keep Keegan and go with the player rewards. And just for argument's sake, so, you know, I'm staying off the fence. We'll say Zach LaVine. I'd take the Zach LaVine one because I want to keep Keegan Murray. I think to that team.
I think I'm with you in that regard. Keegan Murray's going to enter his third year. Like, we started this show unintentionally talking about any scenario where Mike Brown or Monty McNair is on the hot seat next year is ridiculous to me. And moving on from Keegan, you better be, to me, you better be absolutely sure. Yeah, he's not going to be what we thought he was going to be. And there isn't a signal on the planet that says that that's the case. Everything is pointing to him being exactly who Monty McNair thought he would be when he was drafted at 4. Yeah. But at some point, like, potential ain't it no more.
Right.
I don't think, though, in your second season that that's it. In your second season, it's not. No, potential. Yeah, man, that potential can only get you so far. Yeah, man, it could get you to the end of your rookie deal. There's the reason contracts are structured the way that they are. Like, those rookies sign those deals long before they've ever played at that level. Mm-hmm. But the way the CBA is structured is to kind of cushion, hey, you, what is, what I hate using terms like this, but what do they always say? Yeah, you know, you got the player's rights for 7 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's, because you probably aren't going to have an answer as to who this player is 2 years in. Mm-hmm. You hope to start to have a pretty good idea 3 years in. You really want to see something 4 years in, especially given the fact that Keegan's not 18. Yeah. Keegan's a grown man.
Yeah.
Like, he's well into his 20s now at this point. I think he has a lot left. The question that I just don't I think he has a lot left. I think he's incredibly important to what this team is doing moving forward. The one thing that I just get stuck on is, can he be your second leading scorer? Because it feels like he has to.
Yeah, and I don't know if he can. I don't know if that's – I don't know if, and it's tough to say because it's the second season.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if that's in him to be a guy that you can rely on to give you 22 a night. And I think he might be served a little better if he didn't have that type of responsibility or pressure on him. And that's where you go and get that true.
Well,
third, in this case, it would be third scorer because Sabonis, Fox, all this other stuff. But a guy that on any given night can potentially give you 28 and be your second leading scorer. Hell, the way Fox plays sometimes, and that's not a diss. It's just if there's a guy with a hot hand, he'll get it to him. Be the leading scorer.
And maybe I'll push back on that a little bit because maybe you don't want that pressure on Keegan this year. But going into your third year, yeah, like, especially if you're taking number 4 overall, I think that pressure can ramp up a little bit. Like, I think asking him to do that this year was tough, which I don't think they did, by the way. I think anyone expecting that of him this year was a little bit tough. I think starting to ramp up your expectations as he gets into year 3, 4, and you want to see more outings, like, De'Aaron's still shot like 25 times versus Golden State the other night. And that was a game where Keegan came out and was hyper aggressive in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. How often can you do that? How often can you be that guy we saw on Tuesday?
Yeah.
How often can you be that guy who is aggressive, assertive, and looking for his own shot? because it didn't come at the expense of De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron got his. He still got those shots out there. Domas don't even want them. He'll take them when they're there.
He's good with his 14.
Yeah, he'll take them when they're there. He ain't never going to complain. He'd rather be there right under the basket ready to score, see you with a picnic basket out there behind the three-point line and get you the ball.
Yeah.
Add more shots to what you're doing. Like, nothing he did, and obviously I'm using Tuesday because, one, it's very recent. Two, he was very, very good. But none of it was, like, out of the flow of the way that the team plays. So, yeah, like, can he do something closer to that versus what we often see from him? I absolutely believe that he can, and it doesn't shake the Kings' game plan at all.
The thing that, you know, I think about with that, though, is it going to happen next year? Because I think, once again, I'm not saying these guys should be fired or anything else like that, but I'm assuming what that conversation might be if they exit interviews next year and they don't make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Do you want to take a chance going into next year that he's going to progress to that level that quickly? Or do you want to have a little bit of a cushion and be like, all right, man, we got this guy that just in case he's not necessarily ready, you know, he can carry the load of being a second or third scorer.
And maybe that's where Keegan comes in, excuse me. Maybe that's where Malik comes into play next year. And maybe that's where the Mike Brown, Malik Monk, six-man thing has to die. We'll talk about that because obviously a big topic of conversation today at the exit meetings and exit press conferences was Malik Monk and his future. So we'll talk about that. It's D'Lo McCasey, brought to you by Sky River Casino. Shout out to 32 Bruce Street. Shout out to everybody who came through on Friday. Had a great 12-4. Went to hell a couple hours after that.
Damn. Started off good, too.
Man, vibes were immaculate.
Yeah.
Everybody was out there having a blast. But died somewhere around the end of the first quarter. But shout out to 32 Bruce Street, Carrie, and Sky River Casino, and most of all, everybody who came to hang out. We'll talk about Malik Monk and his impact on the team next season when D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
I think it is real Ben's little bro is in the chat saying he's speaking on behalf of the Juarez brothers, because I think Ben told me one time when I saw him, he was at Sky River as well. Shout out to our guy, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
But
they headed over to the Humidor when the show was over.
Oh, he was over at the Humidor?
Yeah.
Okay. I think when I saw him on the at Tom's Watch Bar for the national championship game, he was. I told him, like, you know, we have fun with his late responses or whatever. And he is like, I know, yeah, man, my bro, he be listening, telling me they talking about me, man. So da 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 da. So I think it might be authentic. I think it's authentic.
Drew Down says, Ben is listening to the insiders.
Do we want to take a guess at what Ben's comment's going to be? I'm going to go, nah, you can't trade Keegan this offseason.
No, to Zach LaVine.
Yeah, no to Zach LaVine.
We'll be getting that in about an hour. But remind me, I just thought about something. I forgot to write in the rundown that I was thinking all weekend.
That's fine.
But we're still talking Kings. It's an NBA thing, but we're still talking Kings.
So. All right. Let's stay with the Kings for now. James will join us. I don't know if he's going to join us here in studio or from the bar at the house. But it looks like the interview's right. I don't think Mike has spoken yet. I'm not sure if Monty's going to talk, but it appears Malik has, De'Aaron has, Keegan has. I thought I saw some quotes from Domas. I could be wrong there.
Yeah, Domas spoke.
We were talking about Malik and Mike. Yeah, that was last night. I thought Sean had a quote that wasn't attached to a video. Okay, here it is. This Sean Cunningham. Said, had to ask Malik directly that if in a perfect world situation, would he want to be in Sacramento? Malik said, definitely. He also said he would have been in a situation to return to contribute had the Kings advanced in the first round. More on Malik Monk. This from Sean Cunningham as well. I guess we could just run the video. He just posted the whole interview, so they're all like 13, 14 minutes. Says he realized he can make more money elsewhere, but that could come at the expense of being a great fit. Quote from Malik Monk, I think it's going to play out the right way. Everyone's kind of saying the right thing as it pertains to De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron is the homie, like, hey, you know, this is his chance to earn money. You know, go out there. Obviously, we want him here. We're going to do everything we can to keep him here. But in the end, you got to go out there and you got to get that money. In fact, I was always like really like confident. Like, I think Malik's going to be back. Like, I think he's going to be back. Mm-hmm. Then De'Aaron started talking. I was like, man, maybe he's not. Maybe someone has told him, you know, 2025 is coming his way. But I love that last line from Malik Monk. I think it's going to play out the right way. The right way might mean Sacramento. The right way might mean Orlando. It might mean San Antonio. It might mean, you know, a bag with $100 million in it. Who knows? Mm-hmm. The fact that he knows the fit here is legit. And, you know, the last two seasons that he's had, mm-hmm. I think that might go a little bit of a longer way than we're anticipating.
I think you laid it out perfectly a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about this, and you said the job of Malik's agent and his team, his representatives, is to not just look at this contract coming up, mm-hmm. but look at what's the best place to get you another 80 to 100 mil, mm-hmm. after this is done. And it's a factor. It's a factor. It's not the end all be all. Sometimes when you have the money right there in front of you, you just got to take it, do what you got to do. But sometimes maybe you bet on yourself a little bit. Maybe you say, I'll take the 80 right now, mm-hmm. so I can get 120, mm-hmm. in another 4 years or something like that. And, you know, that's a decision that they got to make. But if, like, at the end of the day, this is like doing a lot of mental gymnastics, and I'm speaking from a perspective of wanting the Kings to bring him back, right? But if you take the 100 now, but you think, man, that scenario might land me 75 on the next deal, well, you probably should take the 80, which you think might land you 115 on the next deal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm. you're getting 100 early, and anything mm-hmm. could happen within those 4 years. But if you're mapping it out that way, and you're like, man, I don't know if this team will, you know, show me the love, or I'll have the same type of value with Orlando that I have with Sacramento. I could get an 80 and $100 bag out of Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
In the long run, you're not taking the short money. You're taking the most that you could possibly make over the course of your career.
Isn't that kind of thinking too far ahead, though?
Yes and no.
So, because like the Kings are going to make moves, and the roster is going to be different at the end of your contract and all that. So
yeah,
your role might not
sure.
be the same and all that.
But like KC said, there's definitely an element to betting on yourself. But the difference with Malik and like other conversation is like we don't know yet what we're talking about with Malik. So in the Kings' case, we know it's 4 years and $78 million. We know that. That's not there's absolutely, I don't think there's a planet in the solar system where Malik Monk isn't offered that by Monty McNair. Mm-hmm. Already through BRAC channels, and at the first opportunity he could put pen to paper, that's going to be in front of him.
Hell, he probably just told him. Ain't no BRAC channel.
Yeah, like, right. Well, yeah, he doesn't have to. It's his player. Like,
he told him at practice 2 months ago.
Probably, like, hey, we're going to offer you the maximum we're allowed to offer. So whatever you got to do this offseason, base it off that.
Yeah.
We don't know what that's against yet. Is it against $100 million? We don't think so, but we don't know. That's 25 per. That's up from the 17.5 that Sacramento can offer. That's a big jump that you can't You can't rational, like, there's no discussion to be had if that's it, in my opinion. Like, that's a massive jump. But if we're talking, and we'll use Orlando as the example, if we're talking Orlando at $20 million, that's an increase of roughly, we'll say like $8 to $10 million over the life of the contract. To me, things work out here, you're more likely to get another deal at the end of this one than you are more likely to get another deal out of Orlando. Because Orlando's already somewhere. And if they get to the point where we're where Toronto was, you brought up Toronto at the beginning of the show, we need to get over that hump to be a championship contender. Well, Malik is the guy you brought in after you already made the playoffs. You're not in that core nucleus. You're not part of them Palo and them boys. That's not you. You get to that position with Sacramento. Yeah, you're part of that core.
Right.
And that's...
You're getting Draymond deals at that point.
Well, yeah. Yeah, you are. You're getting those contracts to keep you around long term. I was looking at something. This is kind of funny. You know how long Bobby was here?
Jackson?
Yeah.
Probably 4 years.
4.5 years. Yeah. That's it.
He got here late in the whole process. I think he came the same year Doug Christie did.
Didn't he got here 2000, 2001. And he.
The year before Doug, then, right?
I think that's the year before. Doug was here 2000. Yeah.
Yeah, same year.
Damn,
they hit that. They hit.
Yeah.
To get Doug and Bobby in one off season. I need that, Monty.
Yeah, 4.5 years, though. He played 25 games in the 2004-2005 season for Sacramento. It feels like Bobby was here forever. Like, he's the it feels like Bobby has been here since the second he stopped playing for Sacramento. Forgetting, like, he might have played with Chris Paul. Like, he was in New, like, he was on, all over the place. But Bobby feels like it was just 4.5 years. Malik's already been here too. But Malik has the chance to ingrain himself with this version of the franchise. Now, the flip side to that is it doesn't work. And it's not going to be like it doesn't work with Malik. It's going to be it doesn't work with this group. And when you hear Malik talk the way he was talking today, Malik said flat out, we wouldn't have been in this position if I was healthy. There's a little revisionist history and kind of romanticizing there. Because, you had plenty of hiccups when you were in the lineup. But, that's the type of mentality you want, right? Like, we wouldn't be in this position if I was healthy the last 10 games of the season, 9 games of the season.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So what you going to do about it then? Because it really boils down to, does it work with this group? And the group is De'Aaron, Domas, Keegan, and, should he choose to stay, Malik Monk. That's the group.
Yeah.
Herter is, all due respect, not in the group. Keon, not there yet. Harrison, I think Harrison actually is in that group. Just none of the Kings fans want him in the group. But Harrison is the friend that someone brought along, and everyone kind of rolled their eyes like, oh, why'd Mike bring him? But in Mike's eyes, I think Harrison is a part of that group. So, is it going to work or is it not?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road.
With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.